Good morning, good morning. Love being back with you again. Happy blessings. Okay, today we're just going to pick up two reviews, and we'll be looking at them from a different angle and a little bit more deeply. So, rest back in what is real. Take a breath, recognizing that there is no person here to speak and that there is no person there to be listening. Supreme Spirit alone is. Okay. So we're, for these moments, we're leaving everything. Well, we are here together. We're leaving the thoughts. We're leaving memories and judgments. We're leaving future projections. We're taking a breath and releasing and letting go for these moments. Resting in the heart. So we're releasing the idea and the illusion of a tomorrow. And we're leaving the idea of now. Just leave it all. Rest back in the silence of your. Rest back in the self. Rest in what is real. Because the unreal has no true existence. You are consciousness aware. Whether you have accepted it or not, you are that. The unborn. Infinite, formless, unchanging presence. Rest there. So I had a couple of emails and they were mentioning things that they were working on. So I thought that we might take those up and have a look at them and see what we can see if we can bring m more clear seeing to them. Okay. So we'll take a look at the first one. And it is stated, I have been still and resting in the reality of being, but I experience a lot of movement around me, and there is an awareness of not being fully a part of the whole. And I don't know how to put it in words. But it is not a purpose, but an experience. So I did not quite understand the idea that, or what was meant by experience a lot of movement around me. But as to not being fully a part of the whole, we can understand. And that which indeed is whole does not have pieces or parts that can come and go, that can be of that whole and yet not be of that whole. That cannot happen. That cannot be. Okay. So there's no aspect of the whole. So any aspect, there's no aspect capable of actually parting from it. There is no aspect of the whole that is capable of actually parting from it. So if that were possible, then it would not and could not be whole. I think we're speaking of one, we're speaking of oneness. Okay. For everything that is of this whole must remain in order for it to be whole. Okay. So then what's going on? Okay. Like a wave that is raising up or rising up. It's not a separate piece of the ocean. It can't come to the ocean and then leave the ocean. But the ocean itself is expressing as a wave. Consciousness itself, the wholeness itself, is expressing as what appears as individuals. So that wave maintains all the qualities, all the properties of the ocean. The expression always maintains the totality of that which is expressing. So the wave remains the liquidity. It remains if there's bacteria, if the whatever is of the ocean is also with the wave. Okay. So it doesn't matter what shape, it's a large wave or a small wave, it doesn't matter. Everything that the ocean is the wave. So everything that the wholeness is the individualization of itself. So, like the wave, it does not separate from the wholeness of the ocean in order to appear as a wave. And that is the same as with us. It may appear, if they're still with you, that idea of duality and separation. So it may appear to the apparent person that it has the capability to leave the whole or leave the one. Or leave that oneness. But again, how could that happen? How could that which is one leave, have any aspect of it to leave? So how could it happen other than by accepting thoughts that claim it can be that way. And then living in the fantasy of that idea that I am not, or I have left, or I cannot fully recognize, I feel separate and not a part of. So, but even with the thoughts, even with the accepting of the thoughts, even with holding to the claim of the thoughts, the one remains as it is, complete. Even if by an individual there is not the full recognition of that, or the full acceptance of that, it still remains that which is, does not have parts. There's no coming and going from it. So again, here you have to look clearly at the thoughts that are stating, I do not feel fully. A part of the whole. I do not feel fully. So there is the flag. Who is this I that does not feel fully a part of the whole? Where is this I? Since there is only this one essence, where is the I that does not feel fully a part of that? So again, individuality does not mean separate. It's like I hold up this hand, and individually, I have this thumb, this finger, this and this. They could look a bit separate, but they're not. They're part of this whole. One can't just get up and walk away. They are fully a part of this object that we call hand. So you cannot leave the whole. You can, however, accept the thoughts that are saying, I do not feel fully part of the whole. And then you would have to also come back, okay, what does feeling fully a part of that feel like? Because I'm making the claim and the statement, I don't feel fully a part of the whole. So then what would being feeling fully a part of it feel like? Go to the other side. It would feel, I would presume that it would feel like joyfulness. It would feel like a deep peace. It would feel like calmness and serenity. It would feel fully loving, fully present. That's how it would feel. So, what is disturbing peace that is ever present? What is disturbing the serenity that is ever present? What is disturbing the joy and the happiness that is ever present? They never go anywhere. The presence and all that that presence is eternally and infinitely present. It doesn't come and go. So what is disturbing your awareness of the fullness that is ever present? Has your awareness wandered off into the wilderness? Meaning, has it gone out into the world? Has it gone to reflect on what it's attached to? What is disturbing what is ever present as you? So that which is present is ever the fullness of being. You How that being. So you must look to where you are putting your attention, somewhere out there. And then the idea has a place to land. Your attention is not in the heart, it's out there. So the thoughts keep bubbling up, and one kind of gets magnetized to wherever your attention is. And then mind makes the claim, I do not feel fully part of the whole. There has to be this truth written somewhere that I never can leave the wholeness of my being. And that is what you come back to. That is your rock. You're walking out on sand, on the sand, and it shifts. Come back to the rock, that rock being, I am the wholeness. I am the completeness that is present. And it doesn't matter what feelings rise up in regards to that. There has to be that clear seeing. One cannot leave one. Only when you are playing with the concept of separation and two-ness can there seemingly be some kind of separation. But that is the dream of separation. That is the fantasy based on the thoughts that you are accepting and claiming as real. So again, that which feels like it is not being fully part of the whole must then be believing in some thought or some idea that claims to not be fully part of the whole. That claim is not a truth. That claim is not a reality. That claim is not of consciousness, of not of God. So you have the opportunity to look at that claim and let it dissolve in the light of what is real. This is your part. This is your devotion by doing these practices when these opportunities or these red flags are presented to you. Something's amiss here. You're not feeling peaceful, or you're not in that place of serenity. That's your opportunity. Look, look sincerely from the heart. And if that has to do with something out there, outside, out in the sand, out in the dream, turn to the withinness consciously, consciously return to the withinness that is your own being. That is all that's present, and that's where you stand. It's all that's there. Why? Because you are the wholeness itself. You are the wholeness. So a claim of not feeling fully part of that is nothing more than a thought. You have to see that clearly. I see the fallacy of the thought. Many others may see the fallacy of that thought or that claim, but you must see the fallacy of the thoughts. That's your devotion. So it is, why is it you that has to see them? And that's because how would you expect to rise up out of the beliefs that you are self-imposing other than by seeing clearly that the thoughts are not power? It is up to each one of us to be in the devotion of bringing attention to the self that we are, and to bring the mind back to its source, which is the self, and let it rest there. When we do that devotion, okay, we are in the work that is called purifying the mind. Every time you see the opportunity that you have allowed thoughts to pull you into them, and you see that, that activity of devotion, of not following the thoughts, releasing the thoughts, letting them go, transcending them in the knowingness they have no power, that is the work called purifying the mind. The mind came out of you from within the source. It is now our devotion to bring that mind back and let it merge back into the source. So, again, it is up to each one of us to do the devotion and the practice.
Thank you, Mary.
You're welcome, my love. Let's rest at this one and take comments and questions about this one, if there are any, and before we go on. Okay. So if you have any comments or questions on our first part.
I think what blocks me sometimes is the belief that if I had that complete oneness, that my demonstration would also be perfect. And it isn't. I fail in many areas.
Who fails?
Exactly. That's part of the problem. Me, right?
But there is no me.
Right.
So, okay.
It's like a catch 22.
No, not really. Because what is taking place is the conditioning that we all come through of being a separate person, a separate me. That conditioning, that's part of your devotion to see clearly, I'm not that. If that's where your attention goes to being a me, then that is your red flag. Oh, wait, I'm back in me, 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 me. Let me take a breath. Step back and recognize, no, there is only one. That's what I am. Now, that might not sound real in the beginning. That might sound like you're lying to yourself in the beginning. But that too is mind that wants to push, oh, don't go there. Don't give up, Gary. Don't give up me. And it will push. It is your devotion to see that pushing and be still. It is your part to recognize that this identity of being a person that is separate from the whole is an impossibility. Nothing can be separate from one. So the devotion that you give is when you see being pulled into, just as you just stated, the catch 22 is there is no catch 22 because there is no me. There is no me. If there is only one presence, then there is only one presence. How can I make it into two presence so that there can be the one presence and then me over here? So the work is to unravel your identification and your identifying with me. That would be the devotion. Again, every time you're called, oh, I can't do that right, or I'm failing in so many parts of life. God's life is not a failure.
Right.
There's only one life as well. You do not have a separate life. So again, that would be your devotion. I have no separate life. If there's one life, then there's one life. And that one life individualizes as a Mary or a Gary or a Catherine. Individualization does not mean separation. You have no two of anything that are identical. They are still individual. Be it pearls or roses or clouds or body forms, there is nothing that is absolutely identical. They are all individualizations of the life that is present. And this is where your devotion can take you. For you, perhaps for your beginning stages, I am not separate from the one. I am an, at this point, you can say, I am an individualization of the one that is present. And as you walk that devotion, you're going to come in to the recognition, I am that one. I am that one that individualizes as the totality that is present. You have to start somewhere about seeing the opportunities you're given through these negative thoughts. They are opportunities. See them as opportunities and work your devotion with those opportunities of seeing them clearly. They are nothing more than temptations to pull me away from the truth of what I am. That's all they are. They are opportunities for me to grow in the recognition of who I am. And that's how you see them. That's how you talk to mind if you need to. And you are an opportunity for me to grow in the godness that I am. And I thank you for that. I thank you, thoughts. I thank you, mind, for giving these opportunities because without them, I could not grow into the understanding of the presence of oneness that I already am. So I thank the thoughts and I thank the mind. Again, this devotion is called purifying mind. Okay. Can
Thank
you
you,
see
Mary.
that love? Can you see that?
I can.
Good.
I'm misidentifying constantly.
That's the blessed start. That's the blessed opportunity to recognize that that is what is taking place. Oh, I misidentified again. Wait a minute. Let me take a breath and re-clarify that within myself. And that's what you do throughout the day. That's love. That's devotion. And that is bringing the mind back to the source, which is the heart of your being. Okay.
Thank you, Mary. That's great.
Oh, good, good, good. And I am here always. If you have a question or an email or a text, I'm here to kind of keep you pointed in the with some little boosters and help. Okay. Okay, any questions or any more comments on our first part? All right, so we're going to move on here, Gary, because I have one here that says our next one is I'm still working with no thinker and no doer. Okay, so. So with that, I'm still working with no think, note that there's no thinker and there's no doer. I want to take it right off the bat that only awareness, consciousness is present. It's all that's here. Okay. There are no persons here trying to be working with the reality that there is no thinker and no doer. So what you want to always do is start from the truth. You're gonna start at the end of your journey where you're living truth. So we're gonna start at the end. So we're going to live the truth now. Okay. So we always begin our practice or prayers or devotion with that recognition. We start from the truth. There is no person here. There is only pure consciousness. Beloved, the awareness. Okay. Always start there. Now, for us to be a thinker or for us to be a doer, we would need to be a body, the capabilities of actually moving. And we'd have to be a mind that is an instructor to that body form. So we have to have those two components to be a doer and a thinker in the normal terms of thinking and doing. Because when we have that presented, it certainly does seem like I am doing something. I am typing. I am painting. I am making beds. I am mopping floors. I am going shopping. It certainly seems that there is an I there that is doing something. And then the thoughts come and we pick up thoughts and we create and weave, okay, some kind of pattern or some kind of consistency to them. We pick them up and put them in some kind of order. So they seem as if they're a stream of thoughts, and we call that thinking. It's like verbalizing a stream of thoughts. And we call that thinking. And Normally, we think when the body is in motion, we are doing something. But reality is of essence. Reality is of absolute. And the essence, the absolute, does not accept the thoughts or opinions that rise and fall of being anything other than pure being. So that which is present is not swayed by this rising and falling of thoughts. The idea of being a doer is just that. It is an idea. And then the body performs, and the thought rises in conjunction with that. I am doing. I am walking. I am running. No, you are not walking or running. You are not doing dishes. You are the essence. You are the awareness that, let's just say it this way, that sees through the apparatus called body. It sees the happenings. It sees the movements. It is aware of a hand waving. It is aware of a foot, one foot going in front of the other. But that is awareness. That is you being aware of what is taking place in what we call mind and what we call body. You are aware of breathing. But you are not making the body breathe. You're not doing anything at all about making the body breathe. You are aware of sight. But there's no you there that is making the body see. There is no you there that makes a comprehension about what is seen or heard. So there is no you there to do any of that. You, awareness, are aware of sights. You're aware of sounds. You're aware of vocalness coming up through the body form. You're aware of the actions and the activity of the body. But there's no you there doing it. So start with truth. The body is but an instrument. It is not my identity. Just like car sitting in the carport is my instrument, but it is not my identity. Although I think some people might try to do that with the very high-end fancy cars that kind of be an extension of who they think they are. It is an instrument. Everything in your experience is an instrument. The cup is an instrument for getting water to the body or the hands. The bed, that is an instrument for the body to rest upon. But you are not doing the resting. You're aware of the body resting. And you might be aware of the feelings of how that feels to have the body resting. You're not doing the resting. You are the awareness of something called resting. Okay. So start with truth. Body is an instrument. And it comes with the sensory apparatuses that report in combination with the mind and using those five senses. So there's an awareness that these senses, these sensory apparatuses bring to awareness. Feeling of a touch, feeling of a slap. That sense of that feeling is brought to awareness. Okay. And then mind will eventually say, oh, I was slapped. There's no Mary here doing this. Now the mind, it is also an instrument, and you have to recognize these things. It is in the recognition that you transcend these ideas of being something that you're not. Okay? So the mind is also an instrument, but in the dual nature of thoughts and mind, and it can easily be seen. The thinking, the thoughts that rise, that string together, and we call that thinking. If you look clearly at them, they may be now have been woven into a story, and there's an attachment to certain thoughts, certain opinions, certain concepts, certain ideas. And we call that string of opinions thinking. Call that string of ideas thinking. But they're rising up in consciousness to your awareness. You have not yet learned that the mind is an instrument and it is not meant to be in the driver's seat. Okay? So when we get to the point where we have an attachment to the objects of the mind, they will seemingly bring at that point of attachment a bondage. My mind is so strong. I can't make my mind be still. Never argue with mind. It is always a losing proposition. To bring mind thoughts to calmness, you, in devotion and understanding, take that breath, open that space, and give the thoughts the opportunity to pass through the spaciousness of your being. It's only when you're believing I'm thinking, you want to hold on to these thoughts or get rid of these thoughts. It's the holding on that gives you the illusion that the mind is some kind of strong thing. But it's you holding on or attached to certain thoughts. Okay. So we can feel like we are in bondage to the objects of mind. And those objects include not only thoughts, but they include feelings and sensations and emotions and memories and future projections. We get into perhaps a string of nostalgia. Oh, back in the day, and na na na. And there's a recall, the recall in the moment that you're in of attachments to the memories of past. You're not thinking. You are not the one thinking the thoughts. You are the one that is actually aware of this recall. Aware. Life is not about doing. I'm speaking of life with a capital L. Life is not about doing. Life is about being. Being life itself and letting that life flow in you because you are that. And life is spontaneity. Life is spontaneous. When there's a feeling or an impulse or like yesterday, wasn't even thinking about it, and I found the body going outside and picking up the rake and doing a little raking and gardening that had not been anything that was thought about, but spontaneously something took place. The body went, picked it up, did a little raking. And when you are in that stillness of being, there might be the raking up of leaves of one bag or two bags or three bags. It doesn't matter. If there's a half a bag and spontaneously there is this impulse to stop and put that down, and that's what happens because the next spontaneous happening will be right along with that. And that is life. That is living. All of a sudden, I'm grabbing a drawing book and some pencils and sitting down in the sun and hadn't thought about doing that. But life flowed and that happening happened and I was aware of it. There was an awareness and it was joyful and it was peaceful. And it's just that wonderful feeling that you are in this flow and life is living itself. And you are aware of it. You are aware of the feelings and the peace, joy. That is living life. That is your nature. You were never meant to be in bondage to thoughts and the collection of thoughts that we call mind. Okay. So when it is seen clearly, and I say that deeply. When it is seen clearly that the mind is an instrument to release the attachments of mind. Okay, let's say that again. Okay, the mind or the thoughts, whatever, are instruments. But it is not an instrument of thinking the thoughts you seem to be used to. Mind is not an instrument of thinking. And I know that sounds, oh, what the heck is she talking about now? Okay. but the mind is to be used, but it is not an instrument of thinking. It's not an instrument of duality. Okay? It is just this area of thoughts that accumulate, and we call that thinking. We call that mind. Okay? But in seeing clearly that the mind is an instrument for you to release thoughts and attachments, to contemplate, to be in a space of introspection. That is not thinking. Don't let it be thinking. Let it be a flowing of awareness. Now that is using the instrument. So the mind is not really an instrument of thinking. And when you see that clearly, you find the liberation and the freedom within pure being. And that is ever present. So if you're thinking, okay, well, I'm a thinker and I'm a doer, you have to go back to the truth. What is present? What is present right now? The absolute, the pure consciousness, the pure awareness, the one. Yes. God, if you will, it's present. That's all that's present. Then you have to step back. Okay, is God a doer? Is God a thinker? Is God thinking the memories? No. There's an awareness of what we call thinking. There's an awareness of what we call doing, but there's no person present to be thinking or doing. What is present, and that is awareness, pure consciousness. So, in allowing the mind to be an instrument for you to use, so that you can release any attachments that might seemingly be there, and to use it in that structure. When you see that clearly, you will also see very clearly that you are not a person there to be thinking or doing. Your reality is one of unborn being, formlessness, infinite and invisible. And that is the reality of who you are. Now you take that first as truth and then step back and recognize that. In my field of awareness, I am aware of a body moving. I am aware of a body breathing. I am awareness itself. So I am aware of thoughts being presented or rising up and flowing down. I am aware when there is an attachment to certain thoughts. I am aware of that. And I can now release them because I have an awareness that that is what is taking place. So you are, in essence, using mind. It is your instrument. Okay. So again, the thoughts are rising and falling in your field of awareness. They are just happening. It is your idea about being a person with a past history and story and a possible future story that brings in the thoughts to go with that of thinking, of being a person that is thinking, but that is all thoughts that you are aware of. Thoughts do not rise in a person. Thinking does not happen to a person. There is no person present to fulfill that fantasy. Thoughts rise within consciousness, in the spaciousness of consciousness. They rise. Okay. If you're holding on to stories, they will then have a familiarity to you because you're holding a story about person. Those thoughts seem to be about person. And if you're holding that story to be your identity, then they will seem as if they are about a you or a me. If you are releasing the story, your attachment to the story, if you are releasing that, and at every opportunity that it rises as some kind of being realness, you see that and you let it go. Then those rising thoughts will no longer have a familiarity. They will no longer want to claim your attention. They will dissolve. They will not come. So you start with the truth. There is no person present to be thinking or doing. Okay, then what is present? Consciousness, awareness, the fullness of God. That's what's present. But if there is the accepting of the thoughts, idea of I am thinking, then you have to ask, who is the I that is thinking? Go back to the truth. What is present right now? So there would have to be a fantasy person idea that you're still holding on to in order for you to make the claim of I am thinking. I am. So you will remain, or it will remain that perhaps thoughts will rise about person. Okay. So there's still going to be the awareness of thoughts that are rising and falling. But you'll be able to tell where you are if you begin to conceptualize that that I is a person and it is thinking. So thoughts are pretty much always on the level of duality, on the level of some kind of separation. So they do seem personal at that level if you're still holding on to personhood. Okay? Okay, always start with the truth. So even when we believe that we are thinking, It is still just thoughts rising in a seemingly ordered sequence, and we call that I am thinking. But again, is there a person here thinking? Or is it pure awareness, aware of thoughts, no matter what order they appear in? Because most of the time, if you're paying attention, thoughts are all over the place. But sometimes they do come in a order. Doer and the thinker claim is always based on being a separate person, something apart from God that can do for itself and think for itself. Okay. Okay, that's it. Any comments, any questions, any? Was that helpful? Yeah.
Yes, it was. Thank you, Mary.
Okay. Because we have someone that's was working on that, and that's what prompted this part two here. That was for him. So I hope it's helpful for everyone to begin to recognize, no, there's nothing here but that complete oneness. So I cannot be anything that it is not. All right, you must be all filled up. Everybody's full. So leave you to spend some time in reflection, contemplation. So we'll call this one complete. So let us pray. Most beloved self, I abide in the reality of being, and I am happy and free. In loving gratitude, I am grateful for this day, this moment. In grace and devotion, I am led from the unreal to the real, from death to life, from fear to peace. I abide in the truth of life, and I am happy and free. Thank you. Thank you, most beloved self, that it is so. Amen. Om. Namaste.